going and figuring it out on your own is the first step towards becoming an entrepreneur. You know that.
Yeah.
Because we saw that the content was the king, right? The way Baiju taught, the methodology of teaching could keep auditorium spellbound. Yeah. So we knew that if we could take this content places, we could create an education revolution. We knew it. We all had zero corporate experience, but we had infinite passion and energy, right? To do something on first principles, to do something which has never been done before. That's what has held us together. We actually didn't go by the rule book. What would you typically do? You'll go to mentors, you'll ask them, is it a good idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if we had actually done all the research in 2015 of, you know, should we launch this app? Should we do what we did? The answer would have been a resounding no. Because at every step that you take, you can have 10 people who are judging you, not because of your talent, and not because of the person that you are or the attributes that you bring to the table, but solely because of your gender. All women teaching from home, from India to the world.
You said you used to play sports. Hmm. What sport do you play?
The age of... So the first one I was gymnastics and running. Age of 4. My mom used to make me run around, the running track in Jayanagar Fourth Block in Bangalore.
At the age of 4?
Age of 4. It's a good age to start.
You were running.
You're running from 2. Now you're just running in circles at 4. It's okay. And then at the age of 5, I started swimming. You know, a lot of times I say that when people say, how was it in your first class? You started, you entered your first class. There were 120 kids. People know the story. I wore a sari to look a bit, a bit older than what I was. I was 21. Hmm. How old are you?
I'm 26 right now.
Okay. Yeah, so much older than where I was, right? 21 and wearing a sari just to look older. And you're put in front of a class because Baiju had this belief that I'm a good teacher.
Okay.
Right? And 120 kids sitting in a gallery style classroom. Today, the best analogy for me is my diving teacher throwing me off the board in the swimming pool into the depths of it, right? And say, go figure it out, right? Going and figuring it out on your own is the first step towards becoming an entrepreneur. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Okay. Now, like, going start, I want to know you better so that I can ask you better questions.
Hmm.
And the idea is like, you've always been a topper. Like, you were always this kid who wanted to become topper. So, I've never been a topper.
Hmm. I'm not a kid who always wanted to be a topper. So I have been in the front bench. I have been in the middle rows. I've been in the back seat throughout my learning journey in school, right? Like, the stopping happened. I've been a good student. I've liked academics. I've loved subjects like science and math. Biology was my favorite subject. My dad was my first teacher. And I mean, I feel nature is a great teacher. Yeah. So that stays as my favorite subject even today. But over the years, it's not that every time I was rank one in class, right? I mean, I did well in the subjects that I loved and I liked. And in grade 10 was when I did really well in sciences and maths and in English. Grade 12 is when I kind of topped the college and then went on to university. And then, so where it mattered, I put in efforts to top.
Did it ever happen where your mom or dad was like, ki beta, ho gaya bahut padhai badhai, ab to chale jao aage? No, never. Dekh, bahut padha liya tumne. Haan, tumne bahut padha liya, ab to chale jao US. Never happened.
And I'll tell you, right? See, here's another thing which pulled me back. I'm the only child, leave alone only daughter. I've never stayed away from my parents in the entire 21 years of my life. It would have been a very difficult decision to leave them and go also. So I wouldn't say that is the only reason, but there was some nagging reason behind where I didn't want to go, and go. And I said, okay, eventually when I go, I'll take everybody and go. And even if I go, right? And there will be enough opportunities later to do it. So yeah, I stayed back, but very supportive, right? Like, ultimately, if you look at what happened, I'm very fortunate to have a family that's always stood by me. It isn't easy for my dad, who's a doctor, I keep joking to him that your degrees are longer than your name. And he's done MBBS, MD, DM, DNB, FRCP. It's like crazy. He's done so many degrees. I joke that even now you can go and take an exam, right? He's touching 70 and I'm waiting for him to retire. I'm telling him that you need to, and you need to spend more time with me. But for someone like that to understand that, and someone who's, and at that point of time, the American dream is a big dream for your kids. To give up their dream and invest in my hopes. I mean, that shows how much they love you, they trust you, and how much they can, I mean, how far they can go to make your dreams come true.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I want to swoop in a difficult question, okay? I asked this to Baiju as well. A difficult question is, I asked my dad, and I want to ask you as well, like, what is it, because you brought up your kids and the family, what is that one thing you want your kids to learn from you and one thing you don't want your kids to learn from you?
One thing I want my kids to learn from me.
Because I mean, kids learn from observation and they observe your actions and they want to do things, right? So they'll observe things which you'll not even know and they'll do it, right? So what do you want them to observe from you and learn? And what is one thing that you wish they should not learn from?
Okay, I definitely want them to be happy like me, right? Because for me, I can find happiness in the smallest of things. Like a flower garden, I can find happiness with people around me. I surround myself with people I love. So for me, I can draw inspiration and happiness from everyone and everything. That is one. Now, what I don't want them to learn from me. There's so many things. Yeah, I can improve myself in so many ways. But maybe I'm very emotional. Like I can go to tears like that. So if my son was like, he was singing the national anthem in school and I was in tears, right? So I'm very emotional. Now, I don't know. I hope both of them are not like that. The elder one is actually more emotional than the, I mean, from whatever I can see so far, the younger one seems to be more aggressive and strong. And the elder one seems to be more softer and, you know.
Emotional.
So yeah, maybe that. I mean, I'm not saying it's a negative quality, but, you know, I just want them to be happy all the time, that I don't want them to ever...
cry.
Yeah, I it's very, very utopian.
It's a very motherly like thing. Motherly, love is now coming out all of a sudden.
All of a sudden. Like, it's always there. It just comes out. And now
But you look very happy as a person. I think you spread those cheerful vibes, honestly.
Yeah, you feel more cheerful.
Very, very. Like, I feel you have that. Do you have, just like business, you guys have different departments. Have your department like kids also? Like, one, I'm going to take care of everything and other you could take. Like, is it like this? One is closer to one, the other is closer to one? Or like, no?
No, not really. Actually, and I think that's one place where it really helps that there are two of us in both the places. A lot of people say, isn't it a challenge? Your work life spills over into your personal life and your other way around. Isn't it a mess? See, and as long as you're having fun doing whatever you do, I mean, you need to manage only if you're not having fun doing something, right? If you enjoy it, you don't need to really manage and think of it as separate entities. So we try to, I mean, while we try to dedicate time for the kids, it doesn't always go as per plan. But then I think it helps that, you know, both of us can pitch in either places. And for both the children, both of us equally mean the world to them. So that's where it helps. So, I mean, I won't say that quantity-wise he's spends more time with the kids, that would be incorrect. But quality-wise, definitely, both of us, you know, give them all the time that we can. Fair.
Now, getting to the business side of it, I want to know that how many people, like he also mentioned that first 15, 20 people, they all were students, people like you, you all were the founding members. So what do you think, what was the reason why all of you joined? Was it just the passion of learning or like passion of, like his passion for teaching or changing the world for better? Or there was something else, like, because there are so many people trying to create so many good, like doing so many things, create an impact. What was this one thing about them or him, like which you felt, or which you feel like not you, but everyone else in the founding team felt the same way?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's something that if I look back and think now, I think I have a clearer answer as to why it happened the way it happened, right? Like, and I will start with the first six, including Baiju, the six founding member team. So, we came together, we had a passion for learning, changing the way people learn, because we knew that there is a need for especially children to unlearn what they learn today and learn in the right way so that they become a learner for life. Now, this is very intense and very, but that's, I mean, that's what it was in each of our minds. We were all tied together by that purpose, by that value. Now, why we came together, so we were all the stories are different, but common is that everybody was a student of Baiju, right? So, and these are students, like among the six of us, some of us went to a premium B school and came back. And some of us, you know, just decided not to go and straight away joined, right, among the six. But all of us were bound together by that common thread of, you know, we want to make we want to create something which has never been created before, and we want to, because we saw that the content was the king, right? The way Baiju taught, the methodology of teaching could keep auditorium spellbound. Yeah. So we knew that if we could take this content places, we could create an education revolution. We knew it. And I mean, if you ask me, we all had zero corporate experience, but we had infinite passion and energy, right? To do something on first principles, to do something which has never been done before. That's what has held us together. It's an underrated, you know, today if they say, what is it that has worked for you? The most underrated thing, but the most important is the team. Like everybody's here even today. It doesn't happen in tech startups.
Yeah.
I never imagined that I will do what I am doing today. Because I was never a person like this. I was an introvert in school. I wouldn't speak up. But people who see me today, they would never believe that. It's teaching has transformed me. Becoming a leader has transformed me as a person.
You said all of you were educators. You were all teachers. Nobody came from a corporate background. How did you learn to build a business? I'm very curious about, like, what did you read books? Did you talk to mentors? Like, where did you learn to build business? It's not an easy thing to do. I mean, I get that there's customer obsession and you keep doing what customer asks. Mm. But business, apart from customer success, there's also operations, there's finance, there's, R&D, there's HR, there's administration. Like so many things, right? Like, how did you learn it?
No, we actually didn't go by the rule book. What would you typically do? You'll go to mentors, you'll ask them, is it a good idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if we had actually done all the research in 2015 of, you know, should we launch this app? Should we do what we did? The answer would have been a resounding no. If we had done the research the way we were supposed to, right? Like, okay, is there a product market fit? Do you think this app will take off? The answer would have been no. You know, it's almost like, but what the app did and how we launched, it's almost like, you know, Steve Jobs said that you figure out what your customer needs even before they know that they want it.
Yeah.
It was almost like that. And that's what the app did, because even we were surprised by the kind of acceptance it had within the first couple of months. And speaking about us as a team and you as a question, right? And I know I digressed. I mean, we just learned along the way by doing. It was all practicals and no theory. And I'll be very frank, because where do you learn from? This is something that you're building on first principles. It's never been done before. This is not a cut, copy, paste model. We are not making a better version of something our competitor made, right?
There's nobody.
Yes, this is your own rule book, your own playbook, right? Write everything. It's a blank sheet. And I think that's the beauty, right? Sometimes not knowing the rules helps you paint the way you want to paint.
Nice. So talking about, you love branding, marketing, talking, right? Tell me, what are the, like, for everyone who's, because most of the viewers, they are entrepreneurs or wanting to be entrepreneurs, right? They want to get into this game. What are the three principles which you keep in mind when it's about branding or like making a brand better? Like for my startup, if I want to do it, or for anyone's startup, what is branding? Like, how should we think about it?
The first one is, how do you personify it, right? Like, how do you make it relatable, and how do you create a personality for it? Now, create something which people can, you know, can visualize, can feel, can relate to, not something that is untouchable, that's something which they can personify. That's what I see a brand as. Second is, create something. A lot of people say, you know, when you're a very big company, people won't love you. I disagree, because in education, you have to be loved, right? And what I'm creating today, it can be a big company, but a big company without love, a big company without trust doesn't have purpose. So what you're building for me, what we are building as an organization, is something that children would love, parents would trust, and it's an ecosystem that grows in that love and trust. So that's very, very important when it comes to education. Yeah.
But here's a question on that. How do you make people love you or your brand? It's such a difficult thing to do, right? It's not an easy thing to do. It's like we all talk about get people to trust, but it's so difficult. But trust, still you can get it, like keep doing same thing over and over again and again for years. And then people start forming trust. But how about love? Like, how do you make people fall in love with you or your brand? What do you think? Like, what should we do?
Yeah. So see, love is an input and trust is an output, if you ask me. Okay. So okay, love. Yeah. So for example, you will love something, and I'll give you an example of the app itself.
Yeah.
Children love the teachers. Children love the videos because it's engaging, it's visual. They've learnt it in such a simple way that they've never learnt it before. So they start falling in love with learning. That's how you create love for your products, for your brand. How do you create trust? You create trust with outcomes. Outcomes takes time, right? Education is not some is not an investment where you see returns even in 6 months to 1 year. You need to be patient with education. But education, once it gives you that result and outcome, it can change lives, it can change livelihoods. So trust for me is all about outcomes. And maybe I can give you an example of, you know, where and why do I say we are about outcomes and trust is if you look at our Education for All, which is our social initiative, 5 million children are learning from us. And this is their primary mode of learning.
Hmm.
And for all the children who are learning with us, 75% have reported an increase in their learning outcomes and learning grades. That for me is trust. That for me is better outcomes. This is what keeps a brand. See, we are not building something which will, you know, for next 5 years, 10 years. We built this for the last 15 years. We are going to build it together for the next 30 to 40 at least.
Yeah.
We are not serial entrepreneurs. We are educators. We are teachers. And we are here to create, we are here to create something where, which will boost the entire ecosystem. Teachers, students, you know, institutions, and everybody, the entire community can get uplifted because of education. We are aware of the segment that we are in. It can create massive impact.
So you feel is the, I love that line, by the way, like input and output. It just, because I feel like you make people fall in love with you when you love them. So you love them so much, you give them value, you give them love, you give them care. And because you do that consistently for a long time, people start trusting you in return.
That's true.
I want to talk about, I want to understand your journey, if you're okay with it, Tammy.
Hmm.
You said you were, and we were just talking, like our conversation started in this way, there are like very less female founders doing a lot of stuff, right? Do you feel it's difficult as a female, like a female team member or a founding member to be in this world? And like, how is it different for male and female? Like,
you know how many people have asked me this question?
Money.
Every single interview.
Yeah, because people want to know this, right?
You know, but my answer is very different.
Hmm.
I am an example of what can happen if you bring up a child, irrespective of whether she's a boy or a girl, if you do not look at them with the myopic lens of gender. Okay, and then you will get someone like me where, you know, it. And I was just, like, I was not at all cognizant of this whole, you know, boys are brought up differently, girls are brought up differently. I'm the only child of my parents. So I was brought up, I was given equal exposure to literature, to sports, to studies, academics, everything. And I was brought up like a child, not like a boy, not like a girl.
Hmm.
So that's why I don't know the challenges. But I'm aware of them because I see them. And I see them every day because I through Education for All, I know. And I'm very proud to say that half of the beneficiaries are girls. Maybe it's also because of the format, right? Because online learning, you can learn from home. Parents don't really have a problem with that. They're like, okay, fine, it's safer for the girl than going outside and learning. So it anyway asks for, this whole model asks and encourages inclusion and diversity. Now, that being said, is it tougher? Of course, it is tougher. Because this, and so many people ask me, like, what is this glass ceiling? How does it look like to you? I'm like, we're walking on it every day, no? We're walking on it. It's not above you, but it's on the floor that you walk. Because at every step that you take, you can have 10 people who are judging you, not because of your talent and not because of the person that you are or the attributes that you bring to the table, but solely because of your gender. And this is why from inception, we have hired only based on talent. So we have 40% women in Byju's.
Damn.
Yeah. And for a tech company, that's really, really good. And also what we did is over the last 24 months, we have 15,000 teachers, all women, teaching from home, from India to the world. Now, these are women who are either underemployed, unemployed, but graduates. The first set of people who had to give up their jobs were women to take care of their children. So this was done with a hope that we are able to bring them back to the workforce to contribute because they make phenomenal teachers. And this is something where it's a very respectable job, highly respectable, you know, profession, which is teaching. And And that's why, you know, these are all the steps that we have taken as an organization, because I know that if anything, they can contribute equally. For me, nobody is better, nobody is worse, right? It's purely based on merit. We need to stop looking at this women leader, men leader and all of that, right? Leaders should not have a gender. Entrepreneurs should not have a gender. That is the day you will be able to have a world where leadership is based on talent.
That is. No, it's true. And I fully agree with this point that entrepreneurship should not be gender. It should be like a mindset, and it can be mindset of anything. It should be inclusive, right? Talking about first principles, now though you have like a lot of data to look up to, because you have your own learning. Forget the world. You have your own learnings and own app only to go through and learn from, right? What have you noticed about Indian customers, which is so unique, which you feel it's an insight worth sharing? I'll give you something so that it adds up. So when I was building my business and I was building a dishwash gel company, I was selling dishwash gel, building distribution around the state, right? And I found out one thing, that the more remote you go, the villages you go to, people say that India is a low trust society, but India is a high trust society when you go lower. So the let's say if you go to tier 3, tier 4 village, or like the village which has like just 10,000 people, 5,000 people, their trust is super high. So the trust is super high. It just gets divided as you go to bigger cities. So metro cities, mein trust will be super low. And the biggest reason was, in metro cities, people live in individualistic societies. In smaller cities, people live with community-driven societies. So in a community, the trust is super high. So if you want to sell something to in a village, you need a different approach versus you sell something, right? So if you want to sell it to a smaller city, you need higher emotions. If you sell it to a metro city, you need higher education. So it's like just like this was very wild for me. I thought India is same, har jagah same hai, but just the population of one space can change your entire marketing technique. And that's what I learned. So that's what, like, it came from business. So have you ever seen like some insight like that, like that there's something about Indians?
The value for education is something that I've seen as a common trend, whether you're in tier 1, tier 2, tier 3. The aspiration, the importance, the value which is given to education is very similar. But in tier 3 towns, it is the only way to make it big. In tier 1, because there's already a cushion, there is more room to experiment, there is more room to go for, you know, more the skills which are more futuristic, right? But this thread of education is important, is there throughout. So while maybe in everyone, for example, will sees a dream of their children going to an IIT or an IIM, whichever part of the, whichever part they're growing up from. In deeper towns or in deeper parts of the country, for us over there, most of our sales is by word of mouth. So, and overall 40% of our sales is very organic. It is through word of mouth, where one person relays their good experience to another one and say, you know, you go for it. And that's the best way. If you ask me, this is how it should be. So if you ask me, this value which is attributed to education, that is the common thing which we've seen throughout. There's surprisingly no change. The importance given to STEM subjects, there is no change. You look at a tier 1 city versus a tier 3 city, there's absolutely, no change at all.
Okay. Hey, going back to the... We started with the love conversation. I want to go to the hate conversation as well. Okay, I want to understand your perspective of... because you're a large organization, there are going to be phases where people love you, there are going to be phases where people hate you, and it goes on every time. And this is with every startup around the world. Mark Zuckerberg goes through the same thing. Like even like a small person, like someone as small as me, we go through the same thing. Everybody goes through the same space, right? So does it affect you ever?
You might have heard this. And you know this, nothing is as good as what you see, right, on media. And nothing is as bad as what you hear on social. Life is also somewhere in between like that, right? So if you learn to deal with everything with neutrality, and if you just consistently keep going at it, you won't let it affect you. Because there will be highs, there will be lows.
Yeah.
It's there for every company, like you rightly said. It's there for every organization, like you said. But if you know your intent is right, if you know that your mission is long-term, it should not affect you. Because if you start getting affected by, you know, what anybody keeps throwing at you, you can lose focus. There is no room for losing focus. Today, you have 50,000 people and their families who depend on you. You have 7.5 million students who depend on you. Then 150 million learners across the world learning from us. There are 5 million children learning for free. These are big responsibilities. So it's, see, and it's not that we don't do our research on, you know, where we are headed. There are mistakes that we've made as we've grown up as an organization, which is part of any company that is growing based on first principles, which I love to use the word, where they're learning to do things right or wrong. They're learning for the first time. But it's important that we take those measures to correct it when it's a small mistake so that it doesn't balloon up.
Yeah.
Right? To put processes in place as and when it's required. And we've done that along the way. There is criticism which is fair, which is just, which we should take and which we should act upon. But there are times where it's unjust and undeserved, which I think it's best to just look beyond. Mm. Right? It's something that everybody faces. Negativity just spreads faster than positivity. Like if there was one thing which had gone wrong, but there were the 100 things that have gone right. Nobody really wants to know about the 100 things which went right now.
Yeah, so, more than that, I feel more than spreading, it's like nobody does anything about positivity, but for negativity, people spread it out.
Hmm.
Okay, let's go ahead again, talk about a little more about your business, your nature.
Yeah.
Okay. And I wanted to ask this question that time when you said, I'm a big learner from nature. What is the one thing you've learned about business from nature? What about nature that you love the most? Like, what's the one philosophy or something that you feel like this is the thing I've built my...
Yeah, so if you ask, like, if you look at the weather, right? It can rain, it can be sunny, it can be hot, it can be windy. Not every weather condition is comfortable, but there is joy in every weather condition. Business is also like that. Right.
Nice.
And there is something to learn in every weather condition. And sometimes you will have to work hard and get out of it. And sometimes you will enjoy it and just bathe in the warmth of it.
But what's next for you? The last couple of questions. Hmm. I'll let you walk free. But
what's next for
next for you?
What's next for me? Next for me is to do what I'm doing today better tomorrow. Anything, all aspects, personally, professionally. Long term, it is very, very clear mission, right? Like whatever we are building today, and whenever we've built something, we've always built something which is global, localized to every country, personalized to every student. We built it in such a way so that we can scale it. Now, can we do that better? Can we do that by having more and more companies? So there is always this organic growth versus inorganic growth, right? So inorganic growth is where you acquire companies to be part of your journey. Then there is the organic build, where with our team, we build. So we have research labs all over the world. So can we do more? Can we add more value for the student? Because see, valuations will come and go, but values are forever. And the value you create is forever, right? So every day, can we add more value to the life of the students that we touch? Can we create something which can maybe deepen their learning or broaden their understanding? So are we building something for that? So I want to do that better. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, implement the latest technologies, make learning as innovative as it can get, revolutionize it. Mission is same. Ask me this question 10 years back. Ask me that today. Ask me 10 years from now. Answer will be unchanged. We want to make students love learning so that they become learners for life. That's it. Simple mission. It will not change. But how do we do it? The paths can be different. So we are very fixed on our mission, but very flexible with the way we execute. So what's next for us is whatever we are doing today, do it better, be stronger, faster, maybe bigger, but also something which can create more and more impact.
Well, you came prepared for this answer.
Really?
You knew what you have to say.
No,
it's
don't think
good.
So.
Like, no, it's a compliment.
Now you go back and see my videos and see whether I've answered this question before.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's a compliment.
Okay.
That.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for doing this. I know you're super busy.
Yeah.
And taking your time to do this. I really loved it. I hope that we get to round two as well and soon.
Yes.
And then we do this more often.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.